Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, October 18th, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, I promised you last time that we would finish chapter 4, and I lied. We are going to finish chapter 4 tonight. We're going to finish it, and here's chapter 5 over here, see. So chapter 4 is up here, chapter 5's here, and I'm working on chapter 6. We won't get to chapter 6 tonight. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have of assembling in freedom this evening to fellowship with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's start the corrected translation at verse 15. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15. For all this, and all this is referring to verses 7 to 14, all the suffering for blessing that the Apostle Paul has documented in those verses. For all this, the suffering for blessing described in verses 7 to 14, it's for your benefit, for the purpose that the grace of God, which is being multiplied to more and more people, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Verse 16. For this reason, we absolutely do not lose heart. But even though our outer man, the human body, is decaying, degenerating, yet our inner man, our heart and soul, keeps on being anakainao, renewed day by day. How is it renewed day by day? Romans 12, 1 and 2. Being transformed by the renewing of your mind. What you're doing right now. What we do here. Well, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, twice on Sunday. You assemble to be for metabolization of truth, the absolute truth of the Word of God. And when that absolute truth of the Word of God comes into your heart, it hauls out all the human viewpoint garbage and replaces it with divine viewpoint, replaces it with truth. And that is a renewing of your mind. And that's why we're here. That's after salvation. Salvation for a lot of the fundy churches, that's the end of the road, like that, like you cross the finish line. They haven't, all that happened to salvation was that God fired the gun. The gun went off. That's all that went off at salvation. The gun went off. Now, you're in a race, a spiritual race, till physical death or the rapture. One or the other, that's the finish line for you. Physical death or the rapture. We are in a race, a spiritual race. And that required, what is the objective? To be transformed by the renewing of our mind, day by day by day by day, consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God, Bible doctrine, truth, truth. Not all of the garbage that goes on in churches today. Christians don't want truth, for the most part. Very, very few believers in Jesus Christ that want the absolute truth of the Word of God. They want their ears tickled. Like Bob Wilkins said, that is the passage in 2 Timothy 4. They want their ears tickled. They want to go to the church where the pastor will tickle their ears. I will not tickle your ears. Now, there are four-legged animals that I tickle their ears. I love dogs. See, you thought I meant cats. I don't have a cat. And I don't want to have a cat. I've been around cats. Cats are important. They demonstrate the principle of arrogance. Now, if you are a cat lover and here is a cat lover, well, I'll put you on my prayer list. That's it. But I love dogs. And I tickled a lot of ears on dogs. But I will never, ever stoop down to tickle your ears. I might kick you in the butt. But my job is to teach you the absolute truth of the Word of God, not to tickle your ears. But we got all these fundy churches. That's all they're interested in. They don't want to know truth of the Word of God. And so they find themselves a mega church somewhere where all of the, everything is watered down to a point where you don't get anything by way of grace and truth to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So here is this verse 16. For this reason, we absolutely do not lose heart. But even though our outer man, our human body, is decaying, degenerating, yet our inner man, our heart and soul, keeps on being renewed day by day. Verse 17. In fact, our momentary light affliction, all of the suffering for blessing that he documented in verses 7 to 14, is producing for us an everlasting weight of glory, absolutely beyond all comparison. Verse 18, while we do not fix our eyes on, we are not preoccupied with, we're not scopeoing the things which are seen, the visible, material. But we fix our eyes on, we are occupied with the things that are not seen, the invisible, the spiritual. And that's as far as we got in verse 18. Now in verse 18 we have something very unique. I've never come across this in the 46 or 7 years I've been here. And that is, we have the articular present passive participle of the verb blepo used 4 times in one verse. 4 times in this verse. The first time is while we look not, while we do not fix our eyes on, preoccupied with the things which are seen. That's the first time it's used there. And there it's used in a genitive absolute. And then the second time is in, but we fix our eyes on, we're occupied with the things that are not seen, the invisible. That's the second use. So while we do not fix our eyes on or are not preoccupied with the things which are seen, the visible, but we fix our eyes on or occupy with the things that are not seen, the invisible. So the Apostle Paul is setting up this great, great contrast. Now the loser believer does just the opposite. This is the way the winner believer thinks and operates. So there is a contrast in our verse between what the physical eyes of the winner believer sees with what the eyes of the heart of the winner believer sees. For the winner believer, the spiritually mature believer, what the inner man sees, what the eyes of his heart sees, far surpasses what his physical eyes see. The inner man and the eyes of the heart are far, far more important than one's physical eyes. The spiritually mature believer is not preoccupied with momentary light afflictions, the suffering for blessings, which Paul documents earlier in the chapter, but with the eternal weight of glory that will be awarded to him at the judgment seat of Christ for all eternity. This eternal perspective, this personal sense of destiny, was a problem-solving device in the Apostle Paul's soul and provided great confidence in things to come. And that sustained Paul in the midst of the temporary sufferings that marked his ministry. So again, verse 18 so far says, while we do not fix our eyes on, we are not preoccupied with the things which are seen, the visible. But we fix our eyes on, we are occupied with the things which are not seen, the invisible. And then he gives the reason why. For the things which are seen are temporal. This is the post-positive conjunction gar, plus here's the third use, articular present passive participle of blepo for the third time, plus the nominative plural neuter of the adjective proskairos. The post-positive conjunction gar looks like that in the Greek, G-A-R. And this is called an illative use of gar. And the illative use of gar introduces a reason. Gar introduces the reason why the winner believer is not preoccupied with the things which are seen, the visible. But instead, the winner believer is occupied with the things that are not seen, the invisible. The illative use of gar correctly translated for. For the things which are seen, the visible. And they, what about these things that are seen, the visible? They are proskairos. Looks like that in the Greek. P-R-O-S-K-A-I-R-O-S. Proskairos. Now, you might notice, you say, well, Pastor Olson, you must have made a mistake because you have this as an S and you have that as an S and they look very different. This is a final F. When it's in the middle of the word, it looks like that. So you see, I know you thought I made a mistake or had a brain fart or something like that. This is actually, there is the final A-S and there's the middle S. So proskairos. There you go, no extra charge for that. Couple of things about proskairos. One, proskairos means lasting only for a very short time. Lasting only for a very short time. It means transitory. It means temporary. Two, the things of this visible world are temporary. The things of this visible world are temporary. You can't take them with you to heaven. You can't take your house to heaven. You can't take your car to heaven. All those money you got stored up in the bank, if the government hasn't taken it yet. You can't take that with you. There's only one thing you can take with you when you go to heaven. You can take whatever is in your soul. The greatest treasure that there is the treasure of the Word of God in your heart. And when you advance to spiritual maturity and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, you can take that soul full of metabolized doctrine in your heart. You can take that virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. You can take that to heaven with you. And that's the greatest treasure you can ever have and ever take. The treasure of the Word of God. That's why, there aren't that many. And we, Bob and I talked for some time. It is very, very difficult and getting more difficult to find a sound doctrinal teaching church where you can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Getting harder and harder and harder. And God has said in His Word, when a nation gets to that point where they don't want God and the Word of God, God will take all the communicators away. There will be none. And we're almost to that point now. God will just take them out because Christians don't want it anyway. Now you can all stay home and read your Bible and see if you can get enough to fill a thimble. But we are at a point where Christians don't want sound doctrinal teaching. They want their ears tickled. They want a band to play. They want entertainment. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to teach you exactly what the Scriptures say. And there are a few, but there aren't many, and they're getting fewer all the time. So point two, the things of this world are very temporary. Three, the suffering for blessings that the winner believer receives. The Apostle Paul says they are only momentary, momentary light afflictions. Verse 17. In fact, our momentary light afflictions, all this suffering for blessing he described in chapter 4, is producing for us an everlasting weight of glory absolutely beyond all comparison. For, in fact, our life in phase two, our life in phase two, our life in time is a vapor. It's a mist. It's very, very temporary. We're here today and we'll be gone tomorrow. I'm here today. I'll be gone tomorrow. Pastors come and pastors go. More of them are going than are coming. Turn over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Verse 13. James 4, verse 13. Now, listen. You who say, oh, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, and we will spend a year there, and carry on business, and make money. Verse 14. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a vapor. You're a mist. You know a vapor? You ever have a tea kettle? Put tea on, boil the water, and it whistles, and you can see it. It comes out, you see it. It's there, and it's gone. That's you. That's every one of you. You're a vapor. We might say you're a fart. No, you wouldn't say it, but I would. Some of you are stinky farts. You're a vapor. You are a mist. You are a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. When I was going to Dallas Theological Seminary, my last year, Deb and I were married before our last year, and I had already done my master's thesis before I got married, because I didn't want Deb to have to go through that, because there were men that I saw who were married, and they were doing their master's thesis, and they spent so much, and you have to spend a lot of time on that master's thesis, that they're married though, and they did not fulfill their responsibilities in their marriage. And they finished their master's thesis, got their degree, and as they stepped down from getting their degree, their wife gave them divorce papers. Here's your divorce. And that happened many times at Dallas Seminary. And I saw that and I thought, well, I'm not going down that track. So I did my master's thesis before I got married. And that meant my last year I had minimum hours, just minimum hours in class and maximum hours with Debbie. And that's the way it should be. And that first year was, we had a great time in Dallas. We went out to great restaurants. We went to Texas Ranger baseball games. We went to Dallas Cowboy football games. We had time for a lot of things because I had just a few hours my last year. I was basically done after 3 years. But there were a lot of men that didn't, and they were divorced by their wives. And then there were men down the road that they never had the gift of pastor-teacher. They went to Dallas Seminary, went through the whole thing, and they didn't even have the gift of pastor-teacher. And they wound up at McDonald's, working in McDonald's, doing something, but they didn't have the gift of pastor-teacher. And you know, that was a blessing. And I always thought, what a blessing that they're not in the pulpit. Worst thing that can happen, you get men in the pulpit, they don't even have the gift of pastor-teacher, and they're in the pulpit. I can't tell you how many men are in pulpits that don't even have the gift of pastor-teacher. All they can do is tickle your ears. But when we were there in Dallas that last year, I needed to get a library. I knew I was going to come to Las Vegas. And I just didn't think there were many theological libraries in Las Vegas. Or theological book rooms where I could go get my library. So I told Deb, I said, I'm going to have to get my library before, while I'm here. And I'm in class, so if you could get a job doing something. So she went to a legal firm and got a job as a secretary in a legal firm. She had no background for any of that. And they loved, who doesn't love Debbie? They loved Debbie. And they laughed and laughed and laughed at the things that they would have, things that she was supposed to type up, and she would type them up, and what she thought they said was not what they said, and it provided comic relief for the... And this was considered one of the very top legal firms in Dallas-Fort Worth. Well, she, all the money that she got from that, I bought my library. And I brought that library with me, and I've worn it out. We were here for a few years, and we went back to Dallas. And I said, you know, let's go back to where you worked at that law firm. So we drove back, and we walked in. Nobody, none of the attorneys were there. We went up and Deb asked, how about this attorney? Oh, they've been gone for a long time. This has been practically shut down. None of them work here anymore. And I told Deb, I said, you know what? It seemed like it was such a big deal, and it was a big deal for Dallas, Fort Worth, and you know, attorneys think that they're the, well, I do have one thing about attorneys. What are 1,000 attorneys at the bottom of Lake Mead? It's a good start. They were all gone. They were here today and gone tomorrow. And that's going to be you. You're here today, you're going to be gone tomorrow. You're a mist. You're a vapor. So he says, why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. So for corrected translation, for the things which are seen, the visible, are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. This is the post-positive conjunction, de. And now we have the fourth articular present passive participle of blepo, but this time with the negative me, plus the nominative plural neuter of the predicate adjective, ionios. Now this, the post-positive conjunction, de. De is used as a conjunction of contrast. And it sets up a contrast between, well, let's give five things. It sets up a contrast between, one, the things which are seen, the visible, that you see with your physical eyes, the temporary, with the things that are not seen, with the things that are invisible, that you see with the eyes of the heart, which are eternal. So it sets up a contrast between the things that are seen, the visible, with the physical eyes, which are temporary, with the things that are invisible, seen with the eyes of the heart, which are eternal. Two, it sets up a contrast between the material with the spiritual. It sets up a contrast between the material with the spiritual. Three, it sets up a contrast between the details of life with God and His Word. It sets up a contrast between the details of life with God and His Word. Four, it sets up a contrast between the details of life and momentary light affliction, suffering for blessing, which are temporary, with God and His Word, which are eternal. It sets up a contrast between the details of life and the momentary light affliction, suffering for blessing that are temporary with God and His Word, which are eternal. Five, it sets up a contrast between phase two, the believer in time, with phase three, the believer in eternity. The believer in time is very, very temporary. The believer in eternity is eternal. And then we have the time number four of the articular present passive participle of blepo, this time with the negative me, and you translate it, but the things which are not seen, but the things which are not seen are ionios. A-I-long-O-N-I-O-S. Ionios. Couple of things. Ionios is an adjective. It comes from the noun ion. So this is the adjective, ionios. The noun that it comes from is ion, A-I-long-O-N. That's the noun. That means eternity. Ion means eternity. Two, the adjective, therefore, means without beginning or without end, It means eternal. Three, it specifically refers to, in our context, to God and the Word of God. It specifically refers to God and the Word of God. Four, God is eternal. And the Word of God is eternal. God is eternal and the Word of God is eternal. Turn over to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. The Lord Jesus Christ is giving a Bible class. He gave a lot of Bible classes. Matthew 24, verse 35, Jesus Christ declares, "Heaven and earth will pass away." See, some of you think that this heaven's... No. This heavens and this earth will pass away, and Jesus Christ will create new heavens and new earth. And we will be sitting in the stands watching Him do that. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." The Word of God will never pass away. It is eternal. God is eternal. The Word of God is eternal. So what is your priority in your life? The things that are here today and vanish tomorrow? Or is God and His Word? And when the light finally goes on and you realize that in the short time while you're here, you are to fulfill the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18 to grow up. That's spiritual growth. In what? In grace, grace orientation, and truth, doctrinal orientation. We're commanded to grow up in grace orientation and doctrinal orientation. And when the light finally goes on, you realize after salvation, this is why you're here. To be renewed in your mind day by day. Consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God. And that means finding a sound Bible teaching church, getting your big or little patootie, whatever kind of patootie you have. You know, as I get older, my patootie is getting smaller. Debbie says, "You know what? You look like a frog. Your pants fall off you. They used to be, you had a patootie back there, kept your pants on. I take my belt off, my pants fall to the ground. I'm a frog." When you get older, some of you got something to look forward to. Well, you need to get that patootie in a sound Bible teaching church day after day after day. And run that spiritual race. The gun went off at salvation, but that's just the beginning. Now you need to be renewed in your mind day by day by day. Grow up in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God is eternal, and the Word of God is eternal. Five, the winner believer is occupied with the things that are eternal. God and His Word. That's it. The winner believer is occupied with the things that are eternal. God and His Word. Not with the things that are temporary. This world. The details of life. That's a loser believer. And like I said, all Upland is not Upland. The winner believer is occupied with the things that are eternal, God and His Word, not with the things that are temporary, this world and the details of life. Sixth, the number one priority in the believer's life should be the things that are eternal, God and His Word, not the things that are temporary. The number one priority in the believer's life should be the things that are eternal, God and His Word, not the things that are temporary. Seven. What is seen, the material, is temporary. What you see with your physical eyes, that's temporary. But what is unseen, the spiritual, is eternal. Eight. The temporary will be replaced by a glory that will never fade away. The temporary will be replaced by a glory that will never fade away. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, at the beginning of 1 Peter chapter 5, the Apostle Peter is talking about pastors. And he starts out, you might have, to the elders among you. That the word there is presbyteros. P-R-E-S-B-U-T-E-R-O-S. We get Presbyterian from that. It means the old man. Doesn't mean you have to be physically old. It means he is the general, the one in authority. And of course, it's sometimes they translated elder. That sounds too Mormon for me. To the pastor, to the old man, those with the communication gift of pastor teacher. But then Apostle Peter says, I appeal to you as a fellow presbyteros. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow presbyteros, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who also will share in the glory. Share in the glory to be revealed. And then he says to these presbyteroi, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as episkopoi. Here's another word for the pastor teacher, translated off of here, overseer. The episkopoi. Not because you must, but because you want to. Now, God gave me the gift of pastor teacher. I'm not. My life is studying and teaching the Word of God. That is my life. Because that's the gift that God gave to me. And I love my Lord. And because I love my Lord more than anything else, He's number one. My life is studying and teaching the Word of God. And I don't want to do anything else. I know everybody, you want to travel. Thanksgiving's coming up. Some of you are going to travel all over for this person, that place for Thanksgiving. I'm going to travel to the table, have turkey. where I'm traveling. But I'm not going to stop. I'll still be coming over here and studying and then getting up here and teaching. Not because I have to, because I want to. There's nothing I would rather do than what I'm doing right now. Nothing. I can't think of one thing. And not only that, I can't afford the other things anyway. Now, there are a few things out there that... But I have a TV. I record things. Like Golden Knight hockey games. I record them. If they lose, I delete it. If they win, I watch it. I've gone to one Golden Knight hockey game. That was about 3 years ago. One. I haven't gone to any other. It's too damn expensive. I can sit home and record it. And I like the announcers. And watch it if they win. And I can delete it if they lose. What if I go and they lose? And I've been going to hockey games since I was a little tiny shaver. My dad always took me to hockey games up in Spokane, Washington, when they were an amateur hockey team. And they played in an amateur league and against amateur teams from Canada. Trail BC and Nelson BC. And they'd come down, and my granny, my grandmother on my dad's side, she loved it. She would go. And we'd be sitting there, dad, mom, granny, and us kids. And Trail, I remember one time, Trail hockey player hit one of our men in the head with his stick. Oh, my granny got up and started telling us, you, me, and she was going down there, going to take him on and punch him out. She'd have done it too. I've gone to a lot of hockey games. I like hockey. But that's not what I want to do. I can watch it. I can study and teach and study and teach and go home and watch a couple of things on the TV that I record. Like a John Wayne Western, which I record. Just started a new John Wayne Western. I haven't seen it. I can't believe I haven't seen it. I won't tell you what it is if you want to know. It's really great. So he says, not... But because... Not because you have to do this, but because you want to. As God wants you to be. Not greedy. If you're interested in money, don't go into the ministry. Not greedy, not for money. And when the Lord brought me here, well, the first few years I worked for nothing. The church couldn't afford it. They had all these problems and bills, and the bank wouldn't deal with it, the church, because they didn't pay the... It was a mess. So I just said, I'll work for nothing. And for several years, I worked for nothing. Not a big deal. I just said, Debbie, you better go to work. And so she started teaching. And I knew that if I taught grace and truth, God would provide the hearers. And then slowly along the way, a little bit here, a little bit there. But I didn't go into the ministry for the money. But eager to serve. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And then, when the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, appears, the rapture, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. That's a special crown given to faithful communicators. Faithful crown called the crown of glory. And then point 9, God the Father has called us to His eternal glory in Christ. He has called us to His eternal glory in Christ. 1 Peter 5:10-11. 1 Peter 5:10. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory. He's called you to His eternal glory in Christ. After you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And to Him be the power forever and ever. Amen. So, 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. For this reason, we absolutely do not lose heart, but even though our outer man, the human body, is degenerating, decaying, yet our inner man, our heart, keeps on being renewed day by day. In fact, our momentary light affliction, suffering for blessing, is producing for us an everlasting weight of glory, absolutely beyond all comparison. Verse 18, while we do not fix our eyes on, we're not preoccupied with the things which are seen, the visible, the material. But we fix our eyes on, we are occupied with the things which are not seen, the invisible. For the things which are seen, the visible, the material, are temporary. But the things which are not seen, the spiritual, the invisible, they are eternal. One, outwardly in his physical body, Paul was wasting away. He was degenerating. His body was deteriorating. Outwardly in his physical body, Paul was wasting away. Two, but each stage of decay and degeneration of his body brought him closer and closer to his eternal destiny, heaven, and going home. But each stage of decay and degeneration of his body brought him closer and closer to his eternal destiny, heaven, and going home. Three, while Paul was retrogressing physically, he was advancing spiritually, being transformed, renewed in his mind day by day. He had maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. So while Paul was retrogressing physically, he was advancing spiritually, being transformed and renewed in his mind day by day. Four, a very important part of Paul's spiritual advance was suffering for blessing. A very important part of Paul's spiritual advance was suffering for blessing. Five, in verse 17, Paul calls this suffering for blessing momentary light affliction. And we've already gone to 2 Corinthians 11:23-29, as Paul describes exactly what this momentary light affliction involved. And I always, when I study and read that passage, it just, the toughest, the toughest man who ever lived was the Apostle Paul. And he calls that momentary light affliction. Sixth, Paul says these things are nothing. These things are nothing compared to the eternal glory that would be his in heaven. Greater grace blessings awarded at the judgment seat of Christ that will glorify God for all eternity. So Paul says these things are nothing. All this momentary light affliction is nothing compared to the eternal glory that would be his in heaven, the greater grace blessings awarded at the judgment seat of Christ that will glorify Christ forever and ever. Seven, Paul's personal sense of destiny sustained him in the midst of suffering for blessing. Paul's personal sense of destiny was a great problem-solving device that he had out on the flat line of his soul. And that sustained him in the midst of all of the suffering for blessing that he went through. He had his eyes. He was occupied with God and His Word. He was occupied with seeing Jesus Christ face to face. He was occupied with the rapture. He was occupied with the resurrection body. He was occupied with the judgment seat of Christ and greater grace blessings forever. Eight, in verse 18, the things that are visible are temporary. But the invisible things, God and His Word, are eternal. In verse 18, the things that are visible are temporary. But the invisible things, God and His Word, are eternal. Nine, therefore, the priority of the believer's life should not be the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. Therefore, the priority of the believer's life should not be the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. Ta-da! You were still thought I was lying again. I know I was watching some of you. Chapter 4 is in the can. Don't worry, I'm not going to let you go until I at least give you introduction to chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All right. By way of introduction, you need to know that chapter divisions are not God-breathed. Chapter divisions are not inspired. And few chapter divisions are more unfortunate than this one. Since what follows in chapter 5, verses 1 through 10... details the doctrinal content expressed in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. And failure to comprehend this fact complicates chapter 5, 1 through 10 by removing them from their context, removing them from their contextual constraints. So, by way of introduction, one, in 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul declares that our outer man, our physical body, is degenerating, falling apart. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul declares that our outer man, our physical body, is degenerating, it's falling apart. Two, Now, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, Paul continues with the doctrinal content by comparing our human body to a worn-out tent. A worn-out tent. Then once you have a worn-out tent, what do you do with it? Burn it. Get rid of it. And I've had a lot of tents, all kinds of tents. And I've worn them all out. Tents are very, very temporary. That's our human body. So in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, Paul continues with the doctrinal content by comparing our human body to a worn-out tent that is soon to be destroyed. I'll even give you the corrected translation of 2 Corinthians 5, 1. For we know that if our earthly house, our human body, which is a tent, is taken down, destroyed, we keep on having a building from God, a resurrection body, a house not made with human hands, eternal in the heaven. So you see, there should never have been a chapter division here. 2 Corinthians 4, 16, 18 should keep on going on through verse 10 of chapter 5. That should all be a part of chapter 4. But it's not, and I won't be able to change it. So now in 2 Corinthians 5, 1, Paul continues with the doctrinal content by comparing our human body to a worn-out tent that is soon to be destroyed. 3, in 2 Corinthians 5, 1, Paul uses the word skenos. S-K-long-E-N-O-S. Skenos. Skenos is the Greek word for tent, to describe our human body. He says our human body is a tent. Very, very, very temporary. Tents are very temporary. So in 2 Corinthians 5, 1, Paul uses the word skenos to describe our human body. 4. In fact, in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John 1, verse 14, John uses the verb skenao. S-K-long-E-N-O-long-O. Skenao. In John 1:14, John uses the verb skenao to describe the human body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it literally says that he tented among us. He tented among us. Turn over to the Gospel of John. You need to write in the margin and get the correct translation. John 1:14. Now, at the beginning of the Gospel of John, it's in the beginning was the Logos, the Word. That's Jesus Christ. And the Logos, the Word, kept on being face to face with God. And the Logos, the Word, was the eternally existing God. He was face to face with God in the beginning and eternity past. That's the Logos. Now, verse 14. And the Logos, Jesus Christ, became flesh, the incarnation and virgin birth of Jesus Christ on the greatest miracle of all time, the very first Christmas. And he, you might have made his dwelling among us. Wrong, wrong, wrong. It says, skenao, and he tented among us. He tented among us. His human body described as a tent, living in a tent. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the uniquely born one who came from the Father, full of grace, grace orientation, and full of truth, doctrinal orientation. So the Word became flesh, and He skenaod, He tented among us. That's literally what it said. 5. Therefore, the eternal perspective and emphasis must be maintained in chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Therefore, the eternal perspective and emphasis must be maintained in chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Point 6, because this human body, which is a very temporary tent, will be replaced by an eternal resurrection body. Point 6, because this human body, which is a very temporary tent, will be replaced by an eternal resurrection body. Second Corinthians 5:1 begins with the post-positive conjunction gar, which again is an illative gar, introducing the reason for what was just taught in 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. So 2 Corinthians 5:1 begins with the illative use of gar, introducing the reason for what was just taught in 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. And 8, therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:1 through 10 details the doctrinal content expressed in 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. That's why this is a terrible, terrible place for a chapter division. Chapter 4 should keep right on going from verses 16 to 18 all the way through verse 10 of chapter 5. Unfortunately, it doesn't. So now you understand and see this all flows together. Now that's the introduction to chapter 5. Well, in case you didn't quite get that, I'll go over it next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.